So we're going to talk about those patterns that we have in Life Bible Study that are within the context of the larger local church, right? That's what we're going to talk about. And so I just want to see, is anyone here from a different campus other than a Loop? Welcome. I love that. Okay, where are y'all from?
Siena.
Siena?
Cypress.
Cypress. Okay, representing any downtown?
Siena.
I noticed that with your shirt. I thought maybe you were from Siena. Okay, anybody from downtown?
Well, I was here 34 years.
Yeah.
Of course. So you were one of the founding fathers of Siena. Well, we're honored to have you here with us. Anybody from downtown? No? No downtown? No Espanol? Okay, well, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Are y'all all gather leaders in your Life Bible Study for the most part? No. So tell me, what do you do? I like to know my audience.
Grow.
Okay.
I'm Jill Reed's assistant.
Hi. Oh. Hi. Well, I know she's happy to have you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's up, face?
Yeah.
And then I'm in Access LBS, and they asked me to be the coordinator for okay. Ladies Night. So
okay.
I figured this would be sure. helpful.
Yeah. What kind of connections? Yeah. Okay, great. How about y'all over here? Are you grow, gather?
Yeah.
Gather. Okay, good. And I love that we have a diverse gathering, different ages and stages. And so that's good. That excites me. Well, I'm Christy Smith. And so I lead the women's ministry here at the Loop campus. And before that, I worked in corporate America. And so I worked in corporate America as a global communications specialist. I would go to global companies and I would help them roll out projects that were global for different teams, internal, external. And so the rhythms of communication were really important because communication and connection go hand in hand. And so somewhere in between that, I also had four children. So I'll show you my family really quickly. This is them. This is my husband, Chase. We've been married for 23 years. He's the minority in our sorority. And we have four daughters. Riley is on the end. She's a senior. She has the audacity to try to leave us and go to college. She's going to Wake Forest in the fall in North Carolina. And then we have Lily Catherine. I was pregnant with Lily Catherine. We started coming here 14 years ago. And she's in eighth grade. We have Ansley in sixth grade, Cece in third grade. So when we started, we had a young family. We've been through all of the different stages of it, all of the busyness of it. And my heart is that I never once thought about not coming to church because I was so desperate for it. So desperate to see other families raising their children in a godly way, to be plugged into a Life Bible Study where people, it seemed like they knew what they were doing. I grew up in a divorced home, and so there was a lot of disconnection, if you will. When I would come to church, I was dropped off by my mom, or I would come with friends. I never sat at church with my family. And so I want you to know that there are people like that in this church. There are people like that who have no context. They're a first-generation Christian. And so some of the things that we think, oh, that's just what church people do, they have no idea. And so it's important to know your audience, to know who's in your Life Bible Study when you're having these events, to explain things to them, because we don't just gather together because it's our tradition or we have nothing better to do. We're all very busy people at the Loop campus. I mean, it's a commuter feel. People are coming from all over. So to gather outside of a Sunday takes an exceptional amount of effort. And so we want to make sure it's really, really value added. So that's my family. What we're going to talk about just in the next few minutes is, why do we gather? When should we gather? And how should we gather? And you're going to see, I'm going to spend probably the bulk of the time, if not an equal amount of time, on the why as the how. Because the why is really important. And just like I shared with you, I don't know that all of you know the why. I'm not going to assume that everybody knows why we gather. And because it's getting more and more challenging to gather corporately as a community, as a church, just because there's so many competing interests. I mean, I showed you my four kids. If I could show you our calendar for tomorrow, it's ridiculous. It's not easy to get to church. And so you as leaders, gather leaders, grow leaders, you have to have a deep conviction about your invitation to people. That it's not just this is what we do. We don't have anything else to do. This is tradition. Check the box. This is mission critical. This is life-changing. As we heard from Chris, he did such a fantastic job, I think, of just like stoking the flame for the Great Commission and keeping our focus on the gospel, that this is the place where we will see life change, that we get to bear witness to life change. And these gatherings, they're really opportunities to build relationship. You can't do life together in life Bible study, really, if you only meet on Sundays, right? You've got to meet outside of that. You've got to build that relational equity. You've got to know their kids' names. You've got to know what their job is. You've got to know what their struggles are to get to the meat of that. When we do women's ministry events, they're massive, right? Because we're at a big church. And I always say, if that does not meet why we're doing what we're doing, which is to behold God through scripture and prayer and worship so that we can become more like God, because we belong to the family of God. If it doesn't meet those needs, we're not going to do it, because we are distinctive as a church. We're not a country club. We're not a baseball park. We're not the neighborhood pub. Like, we are a sacred assembly. So the why is really, really important. I want to show you just from a secular kind of social scientific stance of why we need to gather, just taking theology out of it for a moment. If you can, you really can't, right? Because God's in all things. But just look at what's going on in our world. Y'all know this. You've probably heard Pastor Greg preach on this, but we are in what's called the loneliness epidemic. The U.S. Surgeon General declared a loneliness epidemic. You know, when the government is saying, hey, y'all, you really need to connect because we're seeing a lot of problems come out of this. It is at just epic levels. So this is just a really quick data report. You just see the social isolation, that it's increased 24 hours per month that people would just socially isolate. 24 hours a month. Household engagement, families, they're not sitting around dinner tables anymore. It's decreased 5 hours per month. Companionship, if you live with, you have a spouse, it's decreased 14 hours per month. What do you think we're doing? Scrolling, binging Netflix, running lots of errands, but we're not connecting. It goes on, social engagement with friends. There's been a decrease of 20 hours per month. Non-household family social engagement, 6.5 hours per month decrease. And then social engagement with others, a decrease of 10 hours per month. People are lonely. Look at this data. It talks about that these poor social relationships, it's associated with a 29% increase in the risk of heart disease and a 32% increase in the risk of stroke. Like, it's literally breaking our hearts, the loss of connection that we have. That data across 148 studies said that social connection increases the odds of survival by 50%. Why do you think that is? Do you think maybe we were made to connect by a God who is communal? Yes. And it says chronic loneliness and social isolation can increase the risk of developing dementia by approximately 50% in older adults. I mean, that is staggering. 50%. We need each other. We need to have these gatherings. And I want y'all to feel the weight of this and the burden of this, that because I know we're busy. I mean, it took a lot for y'all maybe to be here on a Friday night. This yes was a no to something else. It was for me too. And so I want you to feel the burden and the weight of that. Lacking social connection is as dangerous as smoking up to 15 cigarettes per day. This is from the U.S. Surgeon General. This is what they're saying. It's likened to drinking 6 alcoholic drinks a day, physical inactivity, obesity, air pollution. Like, it is killing us. So why does the church gather? That was the scientific take, but theologically and biblically, why do we gather? Well, think about our God. He's a communal God, the triune God. He has this perfect, all-sufficient relationship in and of himself, and we are made in his image. So of course we have a need, a critical need to gather. It is important. Our connection actually incarnates our communal God. You hear the term, we're the body of Christ. Have you ever really thought about what that means? The body of Christ. You can't be a body if you're scattered, you come together. You come together to do that. And then we see the glory of the gospel embodied and worked out in the rhythms of gatherings in the church family. And there's rhythms. You think about that word rhythm. And what it is, it's a strong, repeated pattern. If I did a rhythm, you would know what to do. You know what to expect, right? In communication, when you're engaging people, you want to get them to a place where they know what to expect, whether it's with a brand, whether it's with your vision, whether it's with your Monday email that comes out that your director is going to send out, and your director is going to have, okay, the recap of the teaching, the prayer request, and here's some upcoming events. You want your people to be able to depend on that and look for that. That creates rhythms. More on why does the church gather? Think about what we do, because I want you to know it's distinctive. It is different. And so often I feel like when we get to a level of familiarity, particularly at gatherings, and everyone's gatherings look a little bit different, sometimes I think we forget how to be distinctive as a church and what we're really doing. We're coming around in unity. This fellowship is so important. The fellowship of the saints. The unity of the same gospel, the same spirit. You think about, just look at this room, how varied and diverse it is. That's what I love about the church, is that you get to be in rooms with people that maybe you would never be in rooms. Maybe they're not in the same industry as you, or they don't share the same zip code as you, but Jesus has brought us together, and that's special and it's unique. Just the ministry of presence, of being together face to face. We saw this and learned this during COVID, that there's a place for digital church. I'm glad for it. I'm glad for our members who are homebound and who can't get out, or when you're sick, but it is not a replacement for face-to-face gatherings. It never will be. It wasn't meant to be. So that ministry of presence, of just bearing witness to each other's lives. We come together for nourishment, the word and prayer, the function of the church. You know that when you became a Christian, whenever that day was that you confessed Jesus as Lord and the Holy Spirit indwelled you, you were deposited with at least, probably more, but at least one spiritual gift. There is no Christian with the Holy Spirit who does not have a spiritual gift. And the reason you were given a spiritual gift isn't for your glory and namesake. It's for His glory and namesake, and it's to strengthen the church to one another, to serve one another and strengthen one another. It's what makes the body of Christ, and it can't function without everybody's parts. Y'all are leaders in here, and so what I know about leaders is we take on too much. Like, you're probably a leader at your workplace, you're a leader in your neighborhood, you're a leader in your, you know, child's preschool. We take on too much. So sometimes I get to the place where I'm like, Lord, if I get asked to do something, and I say, is this for me or not? It's not a matter of can I do it. It's, Lord, are you asking me to do it, or is this for someone else? Maybe somebody else has been praying about this. They want to use that spiritual gift. So be thinking about that even in the gatherings, even if it's a small thing. People love to have jobs because they have purpose, that, hey, you thought of me. Thanks for thinking me. Thanks for trusting me to do that. So as you're gathering, don't carry the weight of it all on yourself. Delegate. Be like Jethro and Moses. Say, here, let me give somebody else a job to do, and it'll be a blessing to them. We need accountability as a church. Do you know that Christians all suffer from the same disease? It's not sin, because Jesus has cleansed us and washed us clean of our sin. It's spiritual amnesia. We all have spiritual amnesia because we forget at some point along the day, sometimes every day, who God is, what He's done, who we are in Him. We need accountability. We forget all the things we've learned. Have you ever opened your Bible and you go to a passage and it's like written on and highlighted and you're going, that's my handwriting, but I have no recollection of ever reading that. I guess it didn't take root. We need accountability for exhortation, encouraging each other, speaking truth into each other, maybe even gently rebuking each other, confession. Does that happen if you don't know the person's last name or family or job? No, it happens in the gatherings. Kind of think about setting a Sabbath table that we come around to feast, not just on Sundays, but outside of Sundays as well, to facilitate those things. And then, of course, to worship. Everything we do is worship. Worship isn't just what you do in the sanctuary. Everything we do is worshipful because it's a sacred assembly and because of what it represents. Look at what the scriptures say. Y'all know these scriptures, I know. Acts 2:42, after Pentecost, and God had poured out his Holy Spirit, the church was born. The early church, what did they do? It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's the word, to fellowship with one another, to the breaking of bread, it's the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. There were no big LED screens. There was no, like, smoke. There was nothing super fancy. That was the core. That was what they did. Life Bible study is the core, right? It's the engine. It's what makes our big church small. It's where you get to do life together. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. Everybody has a part. You know how, like, you don't think a body part is super important until it doesn't function right?
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, we were on our way to Disney World, and it was the day before we were going to go to Disney World, and I was blow drying my hair, and I had my cup of coffee right here, and the cord just hit the coffee mug just right, and it landed right on my pinky toe. Oh. And after I thought, oh my gosh, I've just made a big mess, the second thought was, oh no, oh no. We're going to Disney World tomorrow where we're walking 30,000 steps a day for like 4 days, and I think I just broke my pinky toe. This is not good. And I watched it swell and turn black and blue. And do you not think that the whole time we were at Disney World, I was like, this pinky toe. Oh, I'm really appreciating the pinky toe. Didn't think about it before because it was fine. But what we've got to get to the place of is realizing everybody has a job here. Everybody belongs. Everybody has a spiritual gift to use. We're the body of Christ. When somebody is missing, that they aren't coming to gatherings, find out why. Maybe they really are just busy. I'm in a life Bible study with my best friends. I just didn't even know it was possible to like the people that you're in life Bible study so much. Like, I love them. We travel together. We're raising our kids together. It's amazing. And we're in a really busy life stage. We've got high schoolers, they're in sports, we've got college kids, we're traveling to do this. I mean, it's pretty normal for us to regularly miss, but after a while, when 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks goes by and we don't see that person, we need to check on them. Because what I've learned, something is going on. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's their marriage is hard and they can't show up to LBS with their spouse because they're arguing and they don't want to sit by each other. Maybe they've lost their job and they don't want to talk about it. I don't know what it is, but I just know that when they're not gathering for a consistent amount of time, something is going on. And whose job is it to check on them? It's ours, to care, to show that compassion that Chris talked about. And when you take on this role, I just want you to feel that. To feel that burden. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we do that? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All the more. That we are called to gather together. The gathering is not optional. It's essential and mission critical. Do you hear in this the not giving up, the call for perseverance? Do you know it's hard to be a Christian today? I don't know if you feel that, but I feel that. It's hard to be a parent raising and discipling kids today. I need my peers to get together and say, how are you handling this? Are you letting them go to this party? Are you letting them do this? Maybe you need to talk about a prodigal child. You need to have somebody pray and speak into that. We have all kinds of situations, and we need to gather and encourage one another, spur one another on. I'm almost done with the why, but I really want you to absorb this. Do you see all the one another's in Scripture? There's so many one another's. Love one another. Welcome one another. Care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Teach one another. Do good to one another, confess to one another, show hospitality to one another. You cannot do that if you don't gather. You can't exercise your one another's if you aren't together gathering. So I want you to know this isn't just, you know, a lunch or a brunch or something fun to do. There's meat here. There's a reason why you gather. and in Life Bible Study and in your community groups, all the more. All the more. These are the things that are essential that we need to do. But I think it's interesting, you know, we don't call it Sunday school anymore. We really don't call it community groups around here. For the most part, it's Life Bible Study, right? And have you ever, and I'm not asking you to name names or class names, but have you ever in this church or another church been in a Life Bible Study and you're not doing life together? You are running parallel, but you don't know each other. You haven't intersected. You're not sharing hearts. They don't know you. You don't know them. You really don't know if they care about you at all. It is Life Bible Study. You've got to do life together because we have spiritual amnesia. We need accountability. We need wisdom and truth spoken into each other. I can tell you in the 14 years that we have been at this church, we've been at several different Life Bible Studies, but in just the past 6 years, we've had 3 deaths in our Life Bible Study. And yes, we've had lost parents, and I'm talking a member of our Life Bible Study class died. And hopefully you don't think I'm that old. It was devastating. Devastating. 2 from cancer, a mom with young children. Her husband, I spoke at her funeral, and her husband stood up there. He has 2 young children, 1 with special needs. And do you know what he said? This is our moment of victory. He stood there at her celebration of life, and he said, this is our moment of victory. Not because that's how he felt, but because he looked out and he saw our whole class. He knew that we loved him. He knew we were praying for him. We had walked alongside his wife. Many of us had been at her bedside. And he knew Jesus. And she knew Jesus. That's the kind of life that happens. We had just this year, and it's devastating. A husband took his life. He was in our class. And we had noticed, why isn't he coming? He stopped coming. And his wife said things had just spiraled out of control. But she's coming now. Her parents are coming with her. We are rallying around her. Maybe that sounds too hard. Maybe you'd rather just have a brunch. But remember, we are sacred assembly. We're not a country club. We're not a ballpark. We are distinctively different, and we get the sacred privilege to do life with people. Maybe you're walking alongside a couple that is struggling with infertility, or a woman who's had a miscarriage, or a man who has lost his job and with it just his whole sense of worth. There's addictions. Do you know that there are Christians sitting in our LBS that have addictions? They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to pornography. Y'all, we got to do life together. And we've got to gather to break through the superficial and to say, hey, let's experience the freedom that Jesus promised us. All of these reasons. But then the best thing is we get to bear witness to life change and transformation. We've had a marriage in our class that was struggling. They were on the brink of divorce. The husband had deep anger issues. His wife was afraid for herself and her children. And some of the wives, we walked alongside her, and some of the husbands walked alongside him. And their marriage has been restored. He's in therapy. He's getting counseling. He's dealing with some deep-rooted family of origin issues. He loves his family. He doesn't want to, you know, lash out in anger to his wife and kids, but he needed some help. And they had enough wisdom and humility to talk to some of us about it. It's really important, and we get to bear witness to that life change. We need that encouragement. So that is why we gather, okay? Do y'all feel like we should be gathering? Do you feel the conviction of that? And of course, there's so many more reasons that I didn't mention. So when should we gather? Let's get tactical. That was sort of the big strategic reason why we do it. When should we gather? Well, that's really a question that y'all have to answer. I'm just going to ask you some questions to make you think about it. Consider your life stage of your LBS, obviously, right? We were in a Life Bible Study class years ago. We were on the younger end of the class, but we had our babies were little, and literally every single week their gathering was serving at the Star of Hope in downtown. And it was a great thing, like feeding the moms and children at 8 p.m. Well, that literally, I just battle guilt every week. I can't make it. My kids are in bed. Like, I'm just trying to get them to bed. I can't wait for that time. The thought of driving downtown and keeping them up, and my husband was working, like, it didn't click. There was nothing wrong with the gathering. It just didn't meet my life stage. So think about your people in your class, in your group. It's not going to be perfect for everybody. I know I plan women's events all the time, and 98% of the time, everyone's super grateful, but there's 1 or 2% that was like, well, why didn't you do it this day? Or why didn't you do it this time? And you're not going to meet everyone's needs, but keep that in mind. The life stage is important, right? If you have an older class, maybe they don't want to drive at night, so you do things during the day. Just kind of some common sense things. Connect with the church's corporate calendar. I beg you. Connect with the church's corporate calendar, okay? So a couple things about our church that's really special, and it's represented in this room. You can see it. We are a multi-generational church. Like, actually, our church, probably 5 generations in our church. Church plants don't have that. Not knocking church plants, but because our church is so old, 183 years old, I think, we have generations. There's history. And you know what happens when generations get together? You are passing the baton of faith. You are sharing wisdom. It is needed. Our older membership are exceedingly valuable. All the time, and Megan can testify this, she works in the Summit Singles, the young women and the young men, they want to be with the older flock. They want to, but they don't know how to. And it's awkward. And when you're in your silos on Sunday, how do you intersect? Well, these intergenerational gatherings that the church puts on, and largely through men's ministry and women's ministry, make that a part of your LBS. So I would say go to that first, plug those dates in for your gatherings, and then if you want to supplement however you want, do that. But consider the church's corporate calendar. And I'm going to go through in a minute. If you don't know how to find that or where it is, I'm going to show you. And then create balance between too little and too much. Focus on quality over quantity. Be mindful that people are busy. And I think that we as a church, this is the great thing about having such a thriving, vibrant church with so many amazing resources, is that we can do too much. I mean, we will sit in meetings and we'll say, y'all, if people came to everything that's on the calendar, they would be up here 7 days a week. And that's not the goal. That's not the goal, because we come to gather to scatter, right? 98, 99% of the people who come to this church are not vocational ministers. They're not working, and they're not supposed to be. You're in the marketplace. You're in your neighborhoods. This gathering is like the watering trough. You are in the wilderness. You are thirsty. When you come on Sunday, you want to be nourished, right, and fed so that you can go out and share it. So make sure that you're looking at that, because the goal is not to create this holy huddle where you keep the people in your LBS just all to yourself and they never have time to go be with non-Christians. I hope that y'all are encouraging your LBS. Like, do you have any people who aren't Christians as your friends? Do you go to lunch with people who aren't Christians? We don't just want this holy huddle. Invite them to your LBS. Invite them to the gatherings. But create a balance between too little and too much. Okay, how should we gather? This is something I think it's kind of fun just because I have a corporate marketing background. The 10 golden rules of engagement. So when I used to do communications for global companies, we do stakeholder engagement plans and strategies. And basically we're identifying who are all the people we're trying to reach, who are the audiences, how are we going to reach them, when do we need to reach them, all those things. And so the 10 golden rules of engagement, this is from a marketing company, but it actually transfers really well to the church. And so these are some of the things that I want you to think about as you are planning gatherings. Demonstrate and deliver value. So to demonstrate and deliver value, that doesn't mean that it has to be fancy or it has to be expensive, but it means that you are understanding the pain points and the needs of the people in your LBS. And those gatherings are addressing that you're creating space to share and to pray. Remember, it's a distinctive gathering, even if it's outside of the church, because we're the church, not the building, it's distinctive. And so you pray together, you talk, you share, maybe have some questions, but demonstrate and deliver value. Build relationships. Be intentional in that, whether it's organic or you have some kind of structure, depending on the size of your class. Get to know people's names. you know, we've been kind of accused as just because we're such a large church of being friendly but not welcoming. And the difference is, yeah, we're going to smile, we're going to have our, you know, Texas charm, and we're going to use good manners, but we're not going to really talk to you. Like, I want to go talk to my person that I see every Sunday. Like, make an effort just to sit by the new person and invite them to the gathering. Be transparent. So this, again, takes that relational equity. But sharing, I mean, sharing each other's lives, sharing each other's burdens. When we have gatherings, we tend to break off in small groups. Sometimes we just had a retreat out at Hunt, and we did it with our family, and it was really sweet because we had our teenagers and our middle schoolers, and they got to hear testimonies from our class. And so that's really important. They got to hear some adults share struggles, but then also share how Jesus is meeting us in that. Involve the brand. That might seem like a weird thing to say at a church, but the brand is Houston's First, right? And so Houston's First, we're a relevant biblical community. That is our vision. And the mission is the Great Commission. So again, keep that in mind with your gatherings, that you want it to be a relevant biblical community. You want it to be aligned with the values of the church. So at one point, years and years ago, I've only attended, for the most part, Baptist churches my whole life. And that was kind of on accident. It just kind of happened that way. My husband grew up in two different denominations. And at one point, we had tried this church where he had grown up. And I won't say what denomination it was, but we got together for our life Bible study. And I literally would have thought we were like at a bar. I mean, there was so much alcohol and so much drinking and so much, and you would have never known it was a church gathering. You know, wasn't Baptist. But I just think, you know, be mindful, and especially when you're doing church gatherings, I'm not knocking. I know that it's not unbiblical to have alcohol in moderation, but I think that when you're having a gathering under the umbrella of the church, just be mindful of those things, because my husband, he's been sober for 9 years, and I love that we get to come to a place with our friends, and that's not a burden. That's not a pressure. So again, you don't know people's stories. You don't know what they're coming with. You don't know what they're struggling with. So just be mindful of those things. Show impact. So I think it's really fun. We sent out after our retreat, and our director is so good at this. She does the best emails, but she sent out pictures. Not everybody was able to come to the retreat, right? It's not always going to work out, but just showing, hey, this is what we did, because some people are on the fence, right? You've got some introverts in your class. You've got people that are like, I don't know. Maybe they've got some church hurt or church baggage that they're like, I don't know if this is weird. I don't know what to expect. Just show them, be transparent, and show them the impact of what happened. And those people who are kind of on the fence, next time they might come. Because they're like, well, that looks really cool. Okay, well, I'm sad I missed that. No, okay, that looks neat. It just kind of takes the mystery away from the gathering. Recognize and reward. So again, in that delegation, don't take on everything. And then I think it's just really fun. You know, in the Sundays after we have a gathering, we'll sort of just do a quick recap. And we'll just think anybody who coordinated or organized or brought this or brought that. And it just creates this sense of culture and community that you're a part of something. People really like to be a part of something. Be entertaining. Okay, so that sounds funny for a church, but what I'm saying is that, you know what? Christianity is the religion of joy. That we should be the most joyful people. So hopefully y'all seem like you're really fun. I bet this just like, you're like, yeah, we're so fun. But when you get together, like, it's okay to make it fun. It's okay, right? You don't have to be gathered around the Bible for the entire 3 hours and pray. I mean, like, live in joy and in freedom of Jesus and plan things that are fun, right? We need to be able to like release some stress in a godly way. Communicate regularly. So again, we've kind of already touched on that, but just create that rhythm of communication so they'll know what to expect. Refresh your membership. So let me ask you a question. Who is in charge of getting people to your class? Who do you think?
We are.
You are. Yes, you are to live invitationally, right? It's an open class. Invite people. Like, let's have a Roadhouse revival at Houston's First and in our LBS. The people that you go to work with, that you live next door to, like, invite them. Refresh your membership. Just keep inviting, and then moderate closely. That does not mean to micromanage at all. That's not what I'm saying. You got to know what people's pain points are. You've got to know what's going on in people's lives. When I came on staff 4 years ago, I will just tell you, I was so overwhelmed. I filled really, really big shoes. There were really big shoes to fill. And this is a really large church. And because it's multi-generational and there's so many needs, you know, the church is like a hospital. And I just thought, Lord, I don't know where to start. Like, I'm supposed to be planning things. Like, where do I start? And I just prayed, and he gave me this scripture that I want to give to you. It's Proverbs 27:23. And it says, know well the condition of your flock and pay attention to your herds. Know well the condition of your flock. What's going on in their lives and in their hearts? And pay attention if they're missing, if they're not showing up. Just check on them. A text, a phone call. I'm thinking about you. I have one woman I've thought about for the past 2 days. I need to text her. I need to reach out to her. I just realized she hasn't been there, right? And so take that on. Place people over the program. So when you're thinking about how you're planning a gathering, think about the people that you're going to minister to. We just heard we have the ministry of reconciliation, that you get to minister to the people in your class. And so think about that. How will this gathering facilitate that? Will it facilitate it, or will it be prohibitive? Like, is it we're going to gather, but we're not going to have time to really talk? Don't do that, because that's a waste. Okay, so how should we gather? Again, we kind of already gone over this, but consider your life stage. What are their pain points? What are their limitations? What's their time availability? You know that better than I do. And so just take that into consideration. If, you know, you have a class of marrieds with young kids, you know, plan something at the park. Do something that is going to be easy. Just consider that. Connect with the church's corporate calendar. Place a high priority on those intergenerational gatherings and the gender-specific gatherings. I'm not just saying that because I'm over women's ministry, but there's something really special that happens when men get together with men and women get together with women, because we share things that maybe we wouldn't share in a co-ed setting, right? That we encourage each other. This is kind of embarrassing, but I'll tell you. My husband is in he's actually in two men's Bible studies, and the one Bible study he's in, he's kind of on the younger side. And so we're officially middle-aged. And so he's with guys that are in their 50s and 60s. And he came home from this Bible study one day and he said, "Hey, we need to talk about menopause." And I said, "Well, that's not what I thought you were going to tell me." And I said, "Really? Why?" And he said, "Well, I mean, I've heard it's a big deal. And I was talking to guys in my Bible study and I mean, you know, we weren't sharing anything personal, but I mean, I just feel like it's a big deal." And so it cracked me up that at the men's Bible study, that this was the topic. I mean, I think they were like praying for their wives and praying for themselves to survive. And it just was funny, right? But to get together and to share things, to share the burdens, to share what's going on, really important. And then create that balance between too little, too much. Okay, so there's lots of resources in the church. I just want to get like a check. Y'all have all these resources. Probably you do, but if you don't, or you don't know what I'm talking about, now's the time to ask. So Looped In is our weekly church email that comes out, and it highlights major events. Does everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay, multiple times. I know, I get it twice too. Okay, so good. Houston's First website. Okay, nobody like throw popcorn at me, because I know that the website can be a struggle. But it is a good resource to look at if you can find the things. And the front page actually always has major events. Hopefully you're not having to work too hard, because hopefully the ministers over your area are sending you really good information weekly through what is known as the green sheet. Do y'all get, or do your directors get those weekly emails?
Yeah.
Yes, some no. No? Okay. You don't know. Okay. That's okay. So somebody in your LBS should be getting them. And I'll show you just in a second what it looks like. And then men's ministry and women's ministry, we have lots of different communication vehicles. And so make sure that you are at least on one of them. And I would say, if you're, you know, in charge, I guess the women are in charge of Gather for Women and men are in charge of Gather for Men. Is that how it pretty much works? Is anybody over for the whole class?
And send it over.
Okay. Okay. So then you want to get both genders, right, for the communication, or be aware of that. So through the website, through email, social media, newsletter. Let me just show you. So this is looped in, and so it's weekly. You get that, and it will highlight, like, we've got Lift Weekend coming up. It's also, I would say, it's just good, even if it doesn't affect you directly, it's good to be aware of what else is going on around the church. There's always something going on, just so there's not competing interest, right? Or if you're wanting to have something at the church and it's the weekend of the Women's Ministry Conference, pick a different weekend, because you're not going to be resourced well. And if you're a woman, you should be at the conference anyways. So make sure that you have looped in. The website, the very bottom of the website, if y'all know this, always has the kind of current events. You can scroll over and see what's coming. Everybody know that? Okay. And then if you go, if you see on the find events on this lower side here, you can actually click down there and you can get pretty detailed, and it'll give you the calendars. It'll give you some major church events. And I know that they're actually refreshing that right now, so it's going to get even better and more accurate. Jen Roach, who's our hospitality director, is working on that. And you can get down to this granular level where you're choosing the campus, different, you know, life stage groups, and it will pop that up for you. So hopefully you're getting that with your green sheet. But if you just are curious, or if your Life Bible Study like intersects, because like our class, we've got different generations represented with our children, it's good to know. This is the green sheet. Does everybody get a green sheet or know about the green sheet? No, you don't? Okay. Are you in, are you in Gather or a director or?
No.
No? Okay. You're just here. Okay. Okay. Well, so your director will get this. And so if you're wanting to get information, they can share with that. But what this is, and it's by life stage. So this is adult two, but Summit has one. All the different, you know, young marrieds, adult one has one, and they're just giving things that are specific for you in that. And then, of course, with different ministries, you get the different emails. So I get, at one point I was getting like four different emails because of all the ages of my kids, which is fine. That's good. So Men's has an app and they also have a newsletter. So if you are a man and you don't get the newsletter or the app, I would recommend scanning a QR code and doing that. Anybody need to before I move on? Okay, there's no men over here, so. And then Women's, same thing. We are on social media, and we also have a newsletter, and it really is a great way. I know this might seem just like really rote and mundane, but it just amazes me. As much as we communicate, I still have people go, I didn't know that was happening. Oh, I missed it. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't know how, because I feel like we have communicated, you know, just like I feel like you're going to just not take anything from us anymore. And so, but just be aware of those things. So I want to hear from y'all, because I know y'all have heard a lot of talking tonight, and y'all are warriors. It's 9:44 and like on a Friday night, and here y'all are doing this so faithfully. I want to hear just from somebody, how has your LBS connected well through events and programs? Let's have a best practice sharing moment.
Like you were saying,
lots of emails.
Okay. Lots of emails. So you think that's a best practice?
So.
You like it? Okay. Lots of, like, by lots, do you mean like once a week, yeah, or like more?
Well, our director puts out one. Our prayer leader puts out one.
Okay.
About three or four a week.
Wow. And you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So see, this is a great example of life stage, right? Because that would not work for my life stage or my LBS.
We're an older group.
No, right. And I think that's great, because maybe that works for y'all, and that's a rhythm that works for y'all. So, okay, great. You were going to say, Lindsay?
The corporate events calendar.
Yes.
Whenever there's something, the men will always go together, the women,
yes,
will go together. So then you at least know who, mm-hmm, you can go sit with.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing worse than trying going into an event and not knowing,
yeah,
where to sit or.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And thank you for bringing that up. I mean, and when we say kind of plug into the corporate calendar, do that and make that an event in your LBS. And so go to dinner before, or if there's something, go together and sit together, and check there's an event, but then you can talk about it afterwards. You're growing together because you've just been sitting under hopefully great teaching and worship, and you can interact with one another that way, because we process. We need people to process with, and these large events, we don't get to do that. So you go do that in your smaller group. Miriam?
We use Slack. Mm-hmm. We
Slack?
It's like GroupMe or one of the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like an app that...
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
I might be interpreting this question a little different, but as far as like connected, so my marriage and adults class, we have a lot of young families, and so every other month we rotate between like guys and girls will have split hangouts, and then we'll have to get them the next month, we'll have to everyone will be together, and so then when it's split, the whoever's not going is taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
And then when we do have gatherings that are all together, typically kids are welcome. So like we're doing, there's going to be a Super Bowl party and you can't bring your kids. You can also get a child care or get a babysitter.
But yeah.
That has helped us as far as like it doesn't, it's funny because it's kind of a lot of, most of the couples in our class came from Summit. So used to having just a lot of
activities
on the calendar, but it's actually really helpful to have like one gathering thing outside of our LBS with young families.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I love that you brought up Super Bowl, because I remember last year we had a Super Bowl party at our director's house, and we brought our kids over, and they're again teenagers, and so you know there's lots of chips and queso and all the fun food. But one thing I loved about it, because again, it's a distinctive gathering, right? It doesn't look like the way the world gathers. And I just love that we were gathered around something really secular, Super Bowl, where there's a lot, typically in a you know worldly gathering, there's going to be a lot of drinking, there's going to be a lot of partying, there's this, there's that, and coming together as families and just having a great time in a wholesome way. And our kids were getting to witness that. Because there is this adage, you know, that more is caught than taught. And so how we live our lives out, how we live the gospel matters with one another and with the next generation. There was a couple, Carolyn probably knows who they are. I don't know if they're still here, but for years, my husband and I sat in the same place. This was like pre-COVID in the sanctuary. And we sat right behind this couple that they were probably in their 80s. And the sweetest couple, he was a deacon. And every Sunday, she would just, I mean, write copious notes. Like this was the first time she'd ever heard the message. And I mean, you know, it wasn't. And he would faithfully, you know, give a amen, you know, to Pastor Greg. And they would stand up. And you could tell it was hard for them to stand up the whole time and worship. And how that ministered to me, I cannot even tell you. As someone who didn't grow up going to church with my family. And I just like nudged my husband and I said, they're goals. Like, that's who I want to be when we grow up. Like, that's, it ministered to me. They didn't have to say anything. And so it's important. What else? Any other best practices y'all want to share?
We have a WhatsApp. We have one for the women.
Mm-hmm.
For the men.
That's smart.
We're all in it. Like, and anyone new that comes to the class, we make sure that they get added in it.
That's
and
really
that's
good.
That's been helpful, too, because even, like, when things come up, like, oh, we need a prayer request, right?
Yes, that's good.
Just type it in the WhatsApp and everybody gets, all the women get it.
I like that.
The men were a little harder to get on board, but
yeah.
They've got it under control now.
But like you're saying, life stages, lots of females would work for us.
Right.
Because they'd get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
But text is...
Yeah, it's whatever works. And that's just identifying what works for your group. It's funny you say that, Catherine, about the men in our LBS class. Our director's always saying, wow, the ladies really have it together. Guys, we've got to get together. They've had like 15 lunches and we haven't had a gathering, you know? And so that's a pain point, for them too, you know, just busy life stage. Okay. What would you say would be some growth or connection inhibitors?
I can chime in.
Yeah.
Also for context, we at our Cypress campus just kicked off our 4 p.m. service. So
yes.
We're only in our fourth week coming up of our brand new LBS.
Okay.
But we've just learned from others that when people enter the room, we have a culture of standing and not sitting until class has started. Because when you go and sit at a table, it kind of inhibits you from entering conversations with others that are coming in.
That's good.
I feel like that's been a big connection inhibitor is people sitting down when they first get in the room.
That's a good observation. Yeah, that is a really good point. Because I'm, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about my own class, and I'm like, there are people that are like, they just can't wait to get to the chair, you know? And I think some of it is you're exhausted by the time that you get to church sometimes, and you know, there's different reasons. But that's a great, just that little shift makes a big difference in connection. What else would you say would be a growth or connection inhibitor that you've seen, or maybe you're just even like thinking about now?
Not having enough of variety. And what I mean by that is not everybody's going to be into pickleball. Everybody's going to be into this every time. Mm-hmm. So to have it and need variety, that's enough good. Variability for different personalities. Mm-hmm. In the group, but not so specific to where, okay, we're leaving these people out. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Like you said, keep in mind of who's going to be, who you're reaching out to.
Mm-hmm. Y'all know lunch can be a spiritual gift. Lunch can just mm-hmm. eat, dine, break bread together. That could be exercising a spiritual gift. Everybody likes to eat and needs to eat. That's good. Yeah, so variety. Okay. Yeah.
So one thing that's really a huge blessing about the CNA campus, but also has to be addressed regularly, is like for one example, our LDS is extremely diverse in mm-hmm. age and race. We're probably a third, a third, a third Black, white, Indian. Hmm. We have singles, we have grandparents, we have newly married. I mean, we have it all, which is incredibly robust. Discussion around the tables and mm-hmm. Just tremendous input throughout the class. So we enjoy the diversity of mm-hmm. it and how beautiful it is, and that I can sit across the table from a woman twice my age from a mm-hmm. completely different culture, and just
it's amazing.
Work together is really incredible. But we almost have to address from the front and within our tables, like someone might step on your toes by accident, or you might not have been in a friendship with someone mm-hmm. that had some of these different life situations in you, and it's okay. Like, let's show grace, let's give grace, let's mm-hmm. not look around at things that are going to offend us just because somebody is learning more about your culture or your upbringing or your life stage. Mm-hmm. So a person that's newly married might say something that disrespects somebody that's in their 80s, and it's okay. Like, so, mm-hmm. so we have to kind of lead the class and go, everybody take a deep breath sometimes if discussion gets lively or
yeah.
We have to address the elephant in the room that this is a really diverse class and it's beautiful because mm-hmm. of that, but we are going to have some little speed bumps here and there.
Yeah, that's so good. That's a really good point. And I think too, just for some pastoral advice, that in situations, number one, we always tell, I teach in my LBS that we're not going to get political. In it. We don't need many of the issues we deal with are theological in nature that have been politicized. But just being mindful of that not assuming everybody thinks the same way. They're coming from a different perspective. And then I would say too, like I said, we have a woman in our class whose husband died by suicide just 6 weeks ago. And the first time I taught, and she sat right there, and I looked at her, and the whole time I'm just praying, God, do not let me say anything that would be hurtful or harmful to her. And I think that as you're gathering, and just a way to disciple each other in this, is that the harder something is, the more severe something is that you walk through with people, the less you need to say. Mm-hmm. Ministry of presence is very powerful. Just sitting by them and saying, so glad you're here. We don't have to have this burden to say all the things, because, wow, that's a landmine, right? Like, what do you say other than, I'm praying for you, I love you, I'm so glad you're here. So just take that burden off yourself. And that's kind of just a side note. Those are really good, really good points for the inhibitors. So I like the variety, recognize diversity, you're coming from a different place. Even just little shifts of just body language. Your communication is so much nonverbal. So just standing and welcoming, having that presence, that hospitality is really important. I'll say this too. My mom, she always talks about, she has a friend who loves to host Thanksgiving, and she brings out the china and she makes these gourmet meals, and it's just like this most beautiful table is set. But every time my mom would get to her home, she was so frenzied and rattled that it was like her nerves and stress were just being like injected into my mom. And she goes, everything looked beautiful, but it was not relaxing. And so I've always thought about that. Like, I always tell my team or lay people who are serving, it's like, I don't care if your hair's on fire. When it's go time, we are so glad you're here. And we really are. We really are, right? But just to let that aside, Jesus will handle it. and just to have hospitality starts in your heart. Right, and just making people feel welcome. One of our pillars in our women's ministry vision is belong. And it's, you know, you belong to the family of God because of Jesus, but we belong to the family of God that it's a family. And like, these are our brothers and sisters. And so to treat each other that way is really important. I think we're wrapping up on time. Before I point y'all to the survey, I just want to hear, is there anything else that y'all want to share? Because y'all are doing this, so y'all have got great points and information, or any questions that you have for me. Okay, let's go first. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Just in the nature of starting out, there's four of us in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And we're serving as every gather, grow, director, teacher.
Yeah.
Just trying to get this off the ground. What's kind of advice you would give just as we're getting things started and paying attention to each one of those aspects, but also mm-hmm. realizing that we don't have a person for each of those.
Sure.
Balancing that.
Sure. So tell me your life stage class. Like, what's
young married?
No kids yet, or some?
Yes.
Some. Okay.
Kids are pregnant.
Or yeah. Pregnant. Yes. You know, I think when I look at the big plan for women's ministry, like all kind of how I do it, and this is just a bigger way to bring it down into like an LBS context, is I take a day away from here. I get alone, or maybe it's a half day. I spend a lengthy time with the Lord. I pray, and then I just look at the calendar, and then I start just kind of dreaming and vision planning and saying, would this be fun? Would this connect? And just have that free space. But really, it's like, Lord, here's the blank page. What do you want me to put on it? And so it's like waiting on Him. And it's not to overcomplicate it. It's because you want it to land, and you need His wisdom. And so just seeking Him in that. But I think looking at the calendar, obviously being mindful of just obvious things, right? Like holidays, spring breaks, things, times that you know, when you start paying attention to your class's rhythms, like, well, that's not going to work for our class because of this. And most of the time you'll know because you're in the same life stage, you know? And then I think too, just challenging yourself for quality over quantity of making it impactful. You know, what does that look like? We've had progressive dinners. And one thing that's a staple in our class is the Christmas party. And, you know, December's crazy, but it's been a really fun thing. There are people who come, I don't know if this is a good thing, but there's people who come to our Christmas party who barely come to LBS, but they love coming. And so, you know, kind of get your thing and get those rhythms. So people, you know, it's a balance between keeping it fresh and having the variety, which I think is such a good point. But then also have some staple things where people are like, oh, I love that, because those traditions are sweet. And year after year, you see just how, like, you've grown, your family's grown, what God's done. You see some of the bittersweet things too. But that, you know, it's just kind of marking, like, when you're measuring, you know, your kids every year against the same wall. You can do that with your LBS class. So I think getting alone with the Lord, and whether you or the team or whoever's doing it, and just saying, okay, let's kind of dream and plan. It could be, hey, this year we really want our class to go on a mission trip together. We want to offer that. We've done, our class went to Boston together, and we were supporting a church plant. And that was a really neat thing to do, because you bond. I mean, you know, when you're praying with people, when you're serving with people, on a mission trip with people, like, those are core memories that you make. And so, you know, think about that. And then I would think a holistic approach, like, picture what's the pie, and what's your piece of the pie, and what are you hitting on? And so when I came and I thought about what makes a healthy women's ministry, you know, what makes, well, okay, well, we've got to have, you know, we've got to have good teaching, right? Good content, good curriculum. Like, the Bible has to be the centerpiece. We've got to have a place to serve. We've got to have a place for discipleship. Like, concentrate on that. We've got to have, so think about, like, what are the pieces of your pie, those things that are essential that you want to hit on. So be strategic, and then build your gatherings around that. Great. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you wrap us up.
I was just going to say, you were talking about checking the church calendar when you're mm-hmm. planning things.
Yeah.
You said that you'll have a new coordinator in charge of that. That's probably a good thing. We've yes. met quite a few times over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, where we've been planning something.
Yeah.
We check the church calendar. There's nothing there.
I know.
And then when we give it to our director and say, okay, this is what we're planning. Yeah. 2 weeks later, he goes, oh, no, the church has a big event. And we're like, it wasn't a, well, yeah. the church didn't like to put too much on the calendar because it overwhelms people. And it's
yeah.
like, What? Yeah. I'm glad to hear that they have a new person in charge of that.
Yes.
Hopefully they will be more.
Sure.
And, you know, those of us who are used to doing calendars for organizations understand. Check the big calendars first, fill in all that first.
Yeah.
And then when we do that and we get told later, it's like...
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Okay.
Yes. Well, and I will say cross-reference because, I'm not in control of the church calendar, right? There's one person. So cross with the other communication vehicles I pointed out to you, check those two. Cross-reference, it's like trust but verify, and look like two sources, not just one, just to make sure. Let me pray for us, and then I will release y'all to the manna from heaven that is whatever we're having for dessert. Let me pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, we just come in your name, and we thank you that we get to gather, God, because of you, because of what you did, Lord. And we thank you just for the sacred assembly that is the church and all that it represents, God. And I thank you for the people here in this room who serve sacrificially, Lord, who... believe in just the distinctive nature of the church and our mission, God. And so I just pray, Lord, that there has just been something helpful to them, that they could go back in their class and that the class would flourish, God, that they would see life change, that these gatherings would be a time to just build relationships and to facilitate just transparency so that we can encourage each other. God, because you tell us to not neglect gathering together. And so, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for all the speakers, God. We just ask that this would bear much fruit. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.